Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Christ is risen. This is an Easter vigil crowd. You know it, right? Happy Easter. When we last gathered here on Good Friday, Jesus was dead. Crucified, laid in a tomb, left in the tomb, dead. The author of life, dead. The principle of all existence, dead. The Son of God, dead. God himself, dead. The Word made flesh, dead. That was death's big moment. And I'm not sure we always appreciate how terrifying that actually was. In part because I don't think we always appreciate the role death plays in our own lives. One theologian said that we live in a cosmic cemetery. We're either living in fear of death, or, and this may be more common, we spend our lives distracting ourselves so that we don't have to think about death. Media, phones, entertainment. We pour our lives into our work. We schedule one thing after another. We're busy from morning until night. We never slow down and think about the end. And when we do, the human race, usually philosophers and clerics and grad students, this type of person, often we come up with two equally unsatisfying conclusions. When we recognize that death is this barrier, death separates earth from heaven, life from the afterlife. Sometimes we act as if heaven is the only place that matters. The afterlife is the only place that matters. This life is at best pointless, and at worst, getting in the way, holding me back. Some of our Platonist friends from antiquity thought like this. Everything descended from the one, the good, the true, the beautiful. It descends, it emanates into matter, and to get back to the good, the true, and the beautiful, the one, the unity, we have to escape from this, from material, from our lives. The other answer doesn't do any better. The other answer, when we recognize that death is a barrier between this life and the afterlife, is simply to say there is no afterlife, there is no heaven, there is no transcendence. Everything is here in front of us. It can be described by physics, quarks, and subatomic particles swirling around in energy fields. And that's it. problem with this is it empties the world of the higher values that we know we need. There is no good, there is no true, there is no beautiful. There are no moral facts. There is not God. Those transcendent elements that the human heart is yearning for. This is what some of the French philosophers called the absurd. We seek meaning and we encounter a meaningless universe. This is not so great either. In either case, you see what happens is the life here in front of me, it's emptied of its meaning. So death is not simply one fact among other facts. Death is not simply one issue that I'll have to deal with down the road. Death is the fact that affects all the other facts. Death is something I have to deal with now in my day-to-day life because it affects what the stuff and the jobs and the tasks and the people, what all that means. How could that not affect my daily life? So things were looking bad when death had its moment. The good news is this. If all that's true for death, if death affects everything, then it's also true for life. If it's true for death, it's also true for Christ. If it's true for death, it's also true for Easter. Easter is not simply one event that happened in the past and that will affect my future. Right. Easter, my resurrection, are two events that are happening in some sense right now. You might think of it like this. When Christ rose from the dead, so much grace exploded into the universe that there was no longer anywhere you could go where you could escape from it, where you won't find it. When God became incarnate, Jesus became a man. The Word became flesh. It became true that I no longer had to look somewhere else to find God, to find the transcendent. I did not have to escape from this world to find it because that world came to this one. God became present here. And when Jesus was crucified, when he was tortured, when he was abandoned, when he was neglected, when he was insulted, it became true that no matter how painful something is that I encounter, that you encounter, physical pain, emotional pain, genuine sorrow, no matter how difficult or genuinely terrible the situation is, there is in that moment, a way of uniting yourself to the Lord Jesus. Because in that pain and in that sorrow, you can look at the cross and say, Jesus, I know a little bit better what you experienced. I know you a little bit better. And Jesus looks back at us and says, yes, I know what you're going through. We have that in common. Even in the worst moments of our lives now, there's union with God. And when Christ rose from the dead, what God did was take the worst thing that had ever happened to the universe. God got murdered. That's pretty bad. God took the murder of God and turned it into the greatest thing that ever happened to the universe. The salvation of men. If human beings. And when that happened, what also became true was that no matter what you or I have done, no matter how much regret it, no matter how much shame it brings, no matter how bad it truly was, it can be redeemed. It can be transformed into something good. It can be transfigured. Christ broke through death. As they like to say in the East, he trampled down death by death. He paved a way to heaven, shattered that barrier between here and there. And because the grace of the resurrection, the grace from heaven, has so thoroughly soaked into our life, our world, this world, here and now, Easter is no longer an event that happens in the past. Its effects, that grace, is with us everywhere. If that grace is with us everywhere, and that grace is drawing us to deeper union with God, and heaven is more or less just deep union with God, then I don't have to wait until the future. I can respond to that grace. I can receive that grace. I can let that grace pull me into the Trinity, and I can begin to experience what will be completed at the end. I can begin to experience heaven. Christ is risen. Glad you didn't forget.